My name is Travis Chamel, and I like.
Good evening. Wow. Welcome to worship on Wednesday. Like I said, we're going to start. Go ahead and get started. So that Larry can go visit the hospital. But does anybody have any praise or prayer requests for tonight? Obviously, Scott Moses. Huh?
Melanie
Trev. Lauren Rapey.
My English teacher had a baby.
All right. Boy or girl? Anybody else? Chelsea, her family, they have a family friend who's been battling cancer, and today she got checked and she's cancer-free. So her name's Charlotte. And in Sunday school, she was the one talking a while ago. She's a single mother with, I don't know if you guys remember that, but she's cancer-free. Anybody else? If there's nothing else, let's bow and prepare for worship. Heavenly Father, we gather here tonight requesting your presence. We pray that you come and be with us as we worship our best for you. God, be with the praise band as they bring us music. We pray that it pleases you. God, be with Larry as he prepares right now to speak. And so that we can learn more about your son, Jesus. God, I pray that you be with Scott Moses and the Moses family right now. Be with him as he is laying in the hospital bed, possibly wondering, you know, how bad it is. Comfort him. Be with him. Be with the doctors as they decide what to do. Give them a clear mind and steady hands. God, be with Melanie as she travels. Be with Lauren's teacher and the new baby girl that they have. Be with Gary and his health problems. God, we give you thanks for the praise with Charlotte and her, and that she's cancer-free. Be with her now as she kind of starts maybe a new life and starting over. God, I pray you be with our community tonight. I pray that we can be the light on the top of the hill for our community, Jenkins Church. Showing the community what it is to be a Christian. God, be with our students as they go to school every day. Be with their teachers. Be with their friends, their coaches, their sports teams. God, we thank you for all the blessings that you give us every day. And we pray that we see them and that we give you credit for these blessings. It's easy to pray when we need something, and sometimes we forget to give you the credit for answered prayers. God, once again, we thank you for your presence tonight and pray that we can worship you to the best of our ability. Amen.
There is a Baptist pastor in Uzbekistan. It's a former part of Russia. And they had summer camp. And there were two parents who sent their kids. Right now they're like faith witnesses. They're trying to say that these camp staff were forcing kids to read the Bible and learn about God, which is not true because they all knew that it's a Christian camp and it's going to be Bible stories and all these Christian worship things going around. So probably they did it on purpose, And right now they're trying to send him to prison for 3 years. And there are also two more workers, youth worker, and one more person who are under that kind of investigation. Yeah, this country, if you remember 2 years ago we were praying for Yaroslav's friend who was traveling and his family in Uzbekistan, and he was not allowed to enter the country because he's a Christian worker, so he had to go to northern city in Russia and help his family to leave the country and just reunite there. So there are persecutions, and Christians, it's a Muslim country, so they're trying to make sure that Christianity stays in there.
Thank you. Good evening. Almost like snapping your finger in. Been kind of interesting from my vantage point to think about Jesus and who He is and go back and relearn some stuff and be reaffirmed. And this is our fifth week we've been talking about Jesus on Wednesday night. So it's our fifth Wednesday night that we have met. And does anyone remember, a little test, does anyone remember what we've talked about so far? Aspects of Jesus' life. Remember what Patrick started with? Had that video from YouTube of, I keep forgetting his name, Patrick.
That's in Lockridge.
Somewhere
along the way, it was in a cave.
It was what? The names of Jesus. Paul did the caves. Well, that was his sermon on Sunday morning, I think. Yeah. Okay. That's all right. You got that one. That's the one they put you on the spot with. Right. Okay. Well, we talked about the names of Jesus. And you remember Brother Lockwood went on and on and on, and then he'd say, "Do you know him?" And then he'd call out other names. "Do you know him?" Well, since we've been doing this, I've been looking at some concordances and other references to Jesus, and I have a Thompson Chain Reference Bible, and Patrick has one. And did you get one, Paul? Yeah, somebody else may have one. and we looked to there to get some subjects. And then this week, I made the discovery of two more sections, about Jesus' suffering, and I forgot what the other one was. I spoke of Christ's pre-existence, or Jesus being with God at creation. I think after the service that night, Betty said something about in Genesis 2, what verse? Genesis 1, it says, let us make God in our own image. And that's certainly interpreted as being God the Father along with Jesus the Son and the Holy Spirit there. 1 what? 126? Verse 26, okay. And then Paul spoke on Jesus' authority. And then last week, Patrick spoke again on the foreknowledge of God, that he knew about things that before they happened, and he spoke in general about his foreknowledge. And so tonight I want to talk about his knowledge of his suffering. But not only did he know it, if we get to it, I want to first look at what he said about this, Jesus himself. And then if we have time, we'll go back and see what others, actually Isaiah, said about Isaiah foreknew about his death and his suffering. So if you will, think about Jesus predicting his suffering. Now, a lot of people have suffered, and you say, well, what's so special about a person suffering? Well, this is the Son of God. This is not an ordinary person. He was fully man, but at the same time, he was fully God, the God-man. So he was fully human and fully divine, or fully God. And he's the one that God sent into the world to pay for our sins. And if you want to compare Christianity to other religions, Jesus is the only one we have a record of him dying, being buried, and being raised to new life. And we won't put the other ones down, but we will proclaim and lift up Jesus and do a bit of comparison to him. So, if you would, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, often they're called the Synoptic Gospels because they're very similar. And they tell many of the same events in Jesus' life, or many of the same, you might refer to them as stories or experiences in Jesus' life. Matthew is the Gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. According to Matthew, good news of Jesus Christ. According to Mark, the good news of Jesus Christ. According to Luke, the good news of Jesus Christ. According to John, Matthew, Mark, and Luke are pretty similar. And then John is a bit different. They're looking at basically the historical, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the historical aspects of Jesus' life. The facts, if you will. And then John emphasizes the spiritual, the more spiritual aspects or activities of Jesus. So we have Matthew, Mark, and Luke all speaking about Jesus asking the disciples, who am I? Who do you think I am? And for some reason I went to Mark first this time. Mark chapter 8, verse 31, if I got the correct reference. Mark 8, 31. And this is following his question to the disciples and their answer to who he was. And Matthew is the one that I have used the most. In Matthew, Peter says, thou art the Christ. Jesus said, who do you say that I am? And Peter spoke up and said, thou art the Christ, or you're the Christ, or you're the Savior, the Son of the living God. And then after Peter said this, thou art the Christ, he charged them that they should tell no man of him he knew that this was going to cause some problems, and that those who were threatened by his life were going to be out to get him, and he didn't want to do too much publicity too early. And then it says he began to teach them that the Son of Man, and the Son of Man is Jesus' reference to himself, or the phrase that he uses most often in the gospel to refer to himself. We talk about him being the Son of God, and he spoke of being the Son of God, but most often when he spoke of himself, he spoke of being the Son of Man. The Son of Man, because he was born of man and woman, the Son of Man must suffer many things. So in the book of Matthew, this is in the 16th chapter, and the book of Mark is in the 8th chapter, so about halfway through the events of his life, or halfway through the gospel story, though a large portion, the last 3 or 4 chapters of all of them, tell about the last week of his life. But early in his ministry, he said, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders. So he knew what was going to happen. And the chief priest and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. Well, I could go and talk about where he said, if you tear this temple down, and it'll be built back in 3 days, and they questioned that, but he was talking about his own body, and they thought he was talking about the temple. So I didn't mention that because we didn't have time, did we? And he spake the saying openly. But the disciples couldn't comprehend this. They couldn't stand. What I've experienced in life, a person will be at the point of death or know he's going to die, and what I have done, I'm sorry to say, but early in my ministry, I would even say, let's don't talk about this. Let's don't talk about death. Let's talk about more happy things. And I think I refer to it as my wife. If it's something that's going to bring a tear to her eye, she will not discuss it. She wants to think happy thoughts. And so I guess I caught a little of that from her. We'd talk about somebody dying, or somebody wants to say, let's talk about my death. And, oh, let's talk about something else. Well, if a person wants to talk about dying, you know, it's my responsibility to help them get prepared to die. And I'm sorry that I haven't been, the times that I have said, let's talk about something else. Oh, you're going to be okay. And sometimes they got okay, and sometimes they went on and died. But Peter said, no, Lord, this can't happen to you. You're not going to die. He began to rebuke him. And then Jesus went on to tell Peter to get behind him because he was speaking for Satan. Matthew's account, Matthew chapter 16, that was Mark's account. Go back in your Bible, Matthew's account, chapter 16. From that time, Jesus began to show unto his disciples, he even knew the details, that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed, and the third day be raised up. And it goes on to say, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord. This shall never be unto thee. But he turned and said to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. So Peter, when he wanted to deny that Jesus was going to suffer and die, suffer at the hands of the religious officials of the day that were threatened by his ministry, when Peter wouldn't believe it and talk against it, Jesus called that he was Satan. One thing you can say about this, that Satan, I think this is one of the proofs, Satan uses and gets into the best people you know. There's not a greater one that ran with Jesus. There's not a more influential one. And well, maybe John was pretty influential, but Peter, James, and John, Peter was so influential, always speaking up. And sometimes John was right there with him. But even Satan entered into to Peter. And so, friends, don't think just because we've committed our life to Jesus that Satan will not try to use us and try to put words in our mouth and thoughts in our head. Be careful. We've got to know that we're following Jesus. And Peter thought he was doing good. Oh, Jesus, you're not going to die. Jesus says, hey, I'm going to die. And you're Just get behind me. I don't even want you to be out front leading me because you're speaking for Satan. He called him Satan. Get behind me, Satan. And because Satan had prevented Peter from believing that Jesus really was going to suffer. Later he understood it, after the suffering. Luke's account, it came to pass as he was praying, the disciples were with him, and he asked them, saying, "Who do the multitude say that I am?" And this is where one of the accounts, John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others that one of the old prophets is risen again. Because they were looking for Elijah to come back. And we're still looking for him. Did you know that? As Christians we are. And then John the Baptist. Some thought John the Baptist, even Herod who had him killed, was fearful that John the Baptist, though they had chopped his head off, was coming back to life. And he said, so they said, well, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others that one of the old prophets is risen again. And he said to them, "But who say ye that I am?" And Peter answering said, "The Christ of God." But he charged them and commanded them to tell this to no man, saying, "The Son of Man." He's going ahead. He's warning them how much he's going to suffer. "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and the third day be raised up." So he knew about the resurrection, and there was a strong belief in the resurrection, even among the Jewish people, the Pharisees. The Sadducees were a group, or we might call them a denomination, or a sect, S-E-C-T, of the Jewish community who did not believe that people who died would be raised again. And then in Luke chapter 12, verse 51, kind of a disturbing passage to me, but Jesus is talking about, "I didn't come to bring peace on earth." He said there's going to be a lot of division because of me, and we see it in the Middle East right now, but we don't only see it in the Middle East. We see it in Middle Tennessee right now, do we not? Division over Jesus, even how to baptize in his name or how to do other things. But he said, "I have come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled." This is Luke chapter 12, verse 49. In verse 50, then he says, "I have a baptism to undergo, and how distressed I am until it is completed." And he was talking about his death, or that's my understanding of what he is saying. Do I think, verse 51, "Do you think that I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division." And some in the Jewish community especially, if they turn to Jesus, their family would consider them dead. And that still happens today in some communities. If a person comes to believe in Jesus as their Lord and Savior, anything more than a prophet, the family considers them dead and has nothing to do with them. Okay, following the institution of the Lord's Supper. This was before his suffering, but all this was back in the middle parts of the Gospels. Then you get down to the end of the Gospel. They had instituted the Lord's Supper at the upper room, and then Jesus said, "It is written," and this is what was written, "And he was numbered with the transgressors. And I tell you that this must be fulfilled in me. Yes, what is written about me is reaching its fulfillment." But Jesus would be numbered among the people who had transgressed the law or gone against the law, or the sinners. He would be numbered or counted or grouped together with the sinners. And a lot of times throughout his life, he'd say something and they'd say, "Blasphemy, blasphemy." If you blaspheme God, you could be stoned to death. So they did. It had been said about him that he would be, when he was numbered among the sinners or the transgressors, he was being rejected. Luke 24:7. This was after the resurrection. The women went to the tomb to add spices to the body of Jesus on that first Easter morn, It says, in their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. And this wasn't Jesus saying it, but it's these men that greeted these women, Luke 24:7. And this is 24:6. These people that were there at the tomb, the men said to them, remember how he told you. So they're saying that Jesus told you while he was still with you in Galilee. In verse 7, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day rise again. Then they, the women, remembered the words. I think so. Look it up and tell us before I get through. I got about two more references to go to. Luke 24:7. I didn't record that part, John. Put me on the spot. That's okay. The two on the road to Damascus. I'm sorry, back up. It was Paul on the road to Damascus, wasn't it? Two on the road to Emmaus. With the two on the road to Emmaus, Jesus had been crucified. They were so sad, they said, we're going to get out of town, we're going to walk to Emmaus. And they started to Emmaus, and somebody came and started walking with them. They were discussing the events of the day. And he came and walked with them. He said to them, verse 25, how foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. So they were even slow to believe. These two that went to Emmaus were not willing to believe what the prophets had spoken concerning Jesus. And did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with the Moses and the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. So he didn't only tell them himself, the scriptures preceding had said that, and he explained these. They still didn't know who he was. They thought he was just some stranger come to walk with them. After the resurrection, they met with him. He gave some. They had some food together. He came and met with them, and says in verse 43, and he took it and ate in their presence. And he said to them, this is what I told you while I was still with you. He was reminding them what he had told them before his death. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. So he is referring back to the Old Testament too. I think we said a couple of Sundays ago, or maybe this Sunday, that he didn't do away with the law, he fulfilled it. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, this is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sin will be preached in his name to all nations beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And I want to go to the Gospel of John, move over there. John chapter 3, verse 14, John, Jesus' conversation with Nicodemus. Remember, Nicodemus is the one, I trust that you will, who came to Jesus by night. And there's a song somewhere along the way that in one hymn book that we used long ago, a ruler once came to Jesus by night to ask him the way of salvation and life. And so Nicodemus was the one that asked how to be saved. He talked about the being born again, and that's where we get that term. Just as Jesus says, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. That means nailed to a cross. That everyone who believes in him will or may have eternal life. So Jesus suffered. He knew he was going to suffer. He willingly, not running out there, but saying, let me on that cross. He didn't want to. At prayer in the garden, he says, Lord, is there any other way to bring about salvation? Use it. But nevertheless, what you will be done. Not what I will, but your will be done. And he suffered and bled and died that we might know forgiveness. We who have sinned, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We're all guilty. And He died to pay the penalty of the price in our place, that we might have a way to be forgiven. Let us pray. Lord, we thank You for Jesus, and we thank You, Lord, for His wisdom and His knowledge, and we thank You for the Scripture, Lord, that remind us how special He is, that, Lord, that He's not just another person, but that He had such foreknowledge and previous understanding before events happened concerning His own life and concerning us. And thank You, Lord, for the ability to share this from this pulpit, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
You know, I always find it amazing that Jesus had this foreknowledge of all that He was going to do and the suffering that He was going to go through, and yet even though He knew the great suffering that He was going to have to endure, He still didn't waver. He still went through with what He knew was going to happen to Him. I was just thinking, you know, this past Saturday, I was having to do this project where I collect tree samples, and one of the tree samples that I got was of a locust tree, and I don't know if you know what that is or not, but it has these giant thorns on there. And I brought it inside. My mom said, you know, look at these thorns. Can you just imagine that these thorns are around Jesus' head in a crown of mocking Him, and just the terrible pain He went through. And yet He knew all these things were going to happen, yet He still went through all that for us. And the thing about it, too, is that as Christians, while we won't ever have to endure the kind of pain that, and suffering that He went through, there'll be times when our walk isn't always easy, and it isn't always, a bed of roses. It involves suffering too. So tonight, we're just gonna take a minute, and I'd ask that each of you just pray about the suffering that maybe you've gone through to get to where you are, and the suffering that you may be going through in the future. Suffering that God may call you to do for an ultimate better purpose, God's purpose. So just pray about that, and pray for others that you know maybe going through hardship and suffering. And then I'll close this with prayer after a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, Jesus, Lord, we come before You tonight with thankful hearts. We come before You humbly, Lord, as Your people, thanking You for doing and going through so much, even when You knew it was coming. Father, oftentimes when faced with suffering, we tend to go the opposite way. I know I've felt like Jonah, wanting to run away sometimes, Lord. And Father, I praise You for Your strength. I praise You just for the fact that You were willing to go through what You did for me and for us. Father, I can't imagine not only the physical pain that You felt, but also the suffering of our sin, of all the sin that, of all people, the sins that I've committed and the sins I'm going to commit. You know them, Lord. You died for them. You suffered for them. Father, I thank you for the great love that you have for me and for all of your people. Thank you, Lord, for knowing about your suffering and for going through with it for my sake. Jesus, I ask tonight that you please watch over Patrick and Larry as they're traveling to the hospital and any and all who go with them tonight. I ask that you just be with that situation and comfort those who are hurting and healing them, Lord. Father, I thank you for each and every person in this church building tonight. And I praise you for each person in the church all over the world. Because, Father, right here, we may not experience the type of suffering that others are dealing with, but, Lord, we know that others around the world are dealing with suffering, God, that we don't have to deal with here. We thank you for being in a place that we can speak of you and speak of your love freely and openly. Father, I ask that you just please go with us and strengthen us, Lord, for any and all things that we must do for you, that you call us to do in the future for you, Lord. Father, give us strength to show the love to other people, the kind of love that you showed to us. And it's in your heaven, and in your name we pray. Amen.
Larry and I were getting ready to leave, and was it Linda who called you? Linda had called. I don't know if you saw Sam leave just a minute ago on the phone. We're not going tonight. He's sleeping. But he has broken his left wrist. He's left-handed. He has a partially collapsed lung, and he has broken ribs. Is that it? He's got a really bad cut on his leg, so continue to pray about it. Be with him and the doctors, and we'll go tomorrow and visit him, but he's resting right now. So,
let's stand and finish.